Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Gresh and Keith.
I can assure you Aaron Rodgers did not want that out before the draft. It was just an accumulation of information.
So you chose to break the news on draft day.
That is absolutely accurate.
Andy Gresh.
The good part is if you're a New England fan, you've got your future in Mac Jones, but you've got your now in Christian Barmore.
It was a dream come true, like a blessing from God.
My girlfriend, she makes me like 10 cookies every night.
Ridge Keith.
I believe Julian truly heals up. I think he'll be back. I don't see why he wouldn't be back.
Stop it. Get some help.
Gresh and Keefe.
Everybody loves the booty.
Definitely not sex stuff.
On WEEI.
We're into lunch on a Friday. Everybody's starting to get fired up heading into the weekend. So are we. And oh, by the way, Red Sox tickets this hour. Here with Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com. Now I would say good afternoon to the network stations. Providence, the Cape, Portland, Springfield, Keene, New Hampshire, and Worcester. Hopefully you're getting ready for a big weekend. And lots of talk about Mac Jones. I'm going to read a little headline here, Keith.
Yeah.
It says,
headline.
Why Mac Jones should win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Oh, my God.
And Scheim is already offended by just the headline.
I spit out my coffee. I wasn't even drinking any. Yeah, this I already have qualms with this article already.
Ooh.
And John, I read every word.
Wow. That is the first time.
I don't believe it.
No, I was about to ask two.
I
didn't. Oh, you didn't?
No,
okay.
No, I didn't. No.
Skim through in the last minute
but,
and a half.
But I did. And I know where he's coming from.
Yeah.
And I kind of get it. But I still say no. And I also say no chance.
Because, oh, wow.
Because in order to win Rookie of the Year, and again, John outlines it, and he has history of the award, some of the stats and figures that have gone into it. I still think you need to play in order to be Rookie of the Year. And I don't think he plays. And if he does play, it's not much. It's not enough to win the award. This is still Cam Newton's team. Belichick is very stubborn about that. He was last year, and I think he will be again this year.
Yeah, this is interesting what John kind of laid out. And there have been three Patriots who have won the Offensive Rookie of the Year since its inception in 1957. John Stevens in 88. Leonard Russell in 91, Curtis Martin in 95. And then here's the line that Scheim's head exploded on. Get ready to add Mac Jones to that list in 2021.
Oh, my God.
And then you mentioned the whole, getting to the data, right?
Yes.
The whole Rookie of the Year and the quarterback spot, right? So
it's not as much as the sorry to cut you off.
No, but no.
So if you say, hey, a quarterback's going to win the Heisman, you're right. Like almost every single year, a quarterback wins the Heisman Trophy. The Offensive Rookie of the Year, if you look at the recent ones, is not as slam dunk. It just now, you don't always have multiple quarterbacks that start right away,
right?
But it's much more of a grab bag when you look back in the history of, oh, that running back had a good year, or oh, that wide receiver had a good year. They might work in a few other positions.
There was Justin Herbert last year.
Yes.
You had Justin Jefferson, who ended up having a big year.
He had a monster year and probably should have won. Like, he broke some of Randy Moss's records. Like, I feel like probably should have won. But, again, it went to the quarterback. I think that's one of John's points is that a lot of times, if there's a tiebreaker, it goes to the quarterback. Kyler Murray won it in 19, had a great year, but Josh Jacobs had a monster season for the Raiders. And so Josh Jacobs and Justin Jefferson both probably should have won it, but because it was close, it went to a quarterback.
And it was also a team that played well with that quarterback. And even though they weren't winning games, the quarterback wasn't the problem. Like, if you look at the final numbers for Justin Herbert, 31 touchdowns.
Yeah,
and I think it was only about like 14 or 15 interceptions or right around there.
Yeah.
So he didn't have a big, and I don't know what the final interception number was. It might have even been less than that. I know at one point, what
10.
He had 10? 31 touchdowns and 10 interceptions as a rookie. Forget the yards.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That to me is what draws those people, and why John's point right. is a fair one in that, you know, say the Patriots win 11 games and Mac Jones starts from the beginning and he has, I think, even forget the yards, he could throw for 3,500. But if it's 30 touchdowns and 15 interceptions and the Patriots win, you're coming off comparing him to Cam. And then it like in Jacksonville, you know that Trevor Lawrence is going to have numbers, but he's going to throw a million interceptions, at least you would think.
Well, they're also going to lose a ton of games.
That's the other thing,
Even if he doesn't throw a ton of picks, you're saying, all right, if Trevor Lawrence goes 4-12, all right, what are the other candidates doing? Is there a guy that, you know, does Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase have some sort of a rookie record? I don't know if the running backs will. I know Harris is in Pittsburgh. He'll probably have an opportunity, but I don't expect him to have a, you know, Ezekiel Elliott-like season, which is also John points that out. Elliott and Prescott were rookies together. Prescott had a really good year, but Elliott ran for over 100 yards a game.
Jefferson had 1,400 yards and 7 touchdowns last year and didn't win it. And I wonder if, unfortunately, for some of those wide receivers, that it's, well, he didn't have numbers as good as Justin Jefferson last year and he didn't win it. Like, I wonder if that position almost holds itself down.
Oh, but Dak did win it. I'm
because
sorry. That's, I said.
No. So Dak won the Pepsi one, I believe. Which
no.
Is,
he won the AP.
The AP.
The AP one. Rookie of the Year.
Gotcha.
Dak did. I thought.
But I wonder if the wide receivers are become a victim of, like, positional circumstance, because you're going to have a bunch of.
But I think the key though is how many games does Mac Jones need to play? Because right now we're all saying, hey, Pats probably squeeze into the playoffs. Let's say the Pats go 11-6 or 10-7, so they're a good team.
Yep.
And so that alone would put you in the conversation. But we saw Tom Brady, and I know this. I know Rookie of the Year and MVP are different conversations,
of course,
but Tom Brady had one of his best years the year he was suspended, only played 12 games, that was held against him, and he didn't win it. If he played 13 or 14 games, I wonder if he would have. So is there a game, before we get into the stats of Mac Jones, how many games does he need to start minimum, do you think, to be considered for the award?
Minimum, I would say 11. So 6 to Cam and then the rest to Mac.
So 11's an interesting number because I feel like Trevor Lawrence is going to, again, all of this is barring health. Trevor Lawrence is going to start every game.
Yep.
Zach Wilson's going to start every game.
Yep.
Justin Fields will start as many, if not more, games than Mac Jones. I think it'll be close.
Interesting.
Trey Lance, I don't think will play.
Because I don't know if Fields is going to play maybe as much as you think. But it's up for contention. And you're right, Trey Lance.
Same with Mac Jones, though.
Right.
So I think Mac Jones and Justin Fields are kind of in a similar department, but also both have the opportunity to make the playoffs. We thought the NFC is very top heavy.
Wide open.
They made it last year at 8-8 with bad quarterback play. So if Justin Fields gets in and starts the same number of games, maybe then that's where you sort of look at stats. You know, because we looked at the odds not that long ago, and for some reason Trey Lance was like second or third on there. I think they're hyping that one up, even though he may not play. But Mac Jones was in the mix because, again, the position gets you in the door. But I just don't think he's going to play enough games, because even if Bill makes the switch, don't you think it's going to be more like halfway through the season than it would be a quarter of the way through the season?
No, I think, well, I look,
because don't you think they're good enough to win a few games even with Cam? And
then
it's hard to sit a guy who's winning games.
You know, it's crazy to say this, but this is where the schedule factors in, does it not? Like, if you have a...
Yeah, sure.
If your tougher teams are loaded within the first six games, and say you're 3-3 and the quarterback ain't getting it done, but you know what I mean? Like,
well, that, also the bye week factors in, because so many teams start the guy after the bye week. And so if they have an early bye week,
right,
and they're 2-3, all right, well, then maybe they make the switch. But if they're 4-1 somehow...
They're probably not.
Bill's
right.
just going to keep going with Cam. That's my guess.
I would agree that the wins and losses, like, with Cam, it's not the performance as much as it is those wins and losses, unless it is the proverbial, we're winning games 10-7 and offensively we're going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're competitive, if they're, you know, losing 23-20 or winning 23-20, as long as they're doing well, you're probably right. I think he'll go with Cam as long as he can. By the way, PointsBet had their odds out for the old offensive rookie of the year, and they had Trevor Lawrence at +250, Justin Fields +350, Zach Wilson plus 600, Trey Lance plus 650, and then the plus 1,000s are Kyle Pitts and Mac Jones. So even the wide receivers, Rich, Chase, Waddle, Devontae Smith, plus 1,200, plus 1,500, plus 1,600.
They should be long shots because look how good Justin Jefferson was last year, and he didn't win it. And last year, you only had three quarterbacks in the first round, right? And Burrow then got hurt. Tua didn't start right away. Mm-hmm. And so you had Herbert, whereas now you have five quarterbacks in the first round. Four of them have a pretty good chance of starting, at least at some point in the season. So I think just the way the receivers are looked at, it might not work. The last receiver to win it was Odell Beckham back in 2014. Wow. And that was another guy who he missed the first couple games and then was just a machine. Like the stats he put up were crazy.
And the highlight catches also helped that him helps. As well. Yeah. Like that. And being in New York City.
Right.
Like, with all due respect to Justin Jefferson, who had an unbelievable year, and I'd take him. He's in Minnesota, and unfortunately, you're on a 7-9 team that is viewed as underachieving. A lot of people will be like, yeah, you got some puff stats.
But receivers are pretty rare. Going all the way back to when they did this award, Earl McCullough, Sammy White, Louis Lips, Eddie Brown.
Louis Lips! That's a blast from my childhood.
Yeah, Steelers in 84.
Yeah, 83, Louis Lips.
Eddie Brown, Carl Pickens, Randy Moss, Anquan Boldin, Percy Harvin, and Odell Beckham.
Ugh.
So, again, since 2000, you've only had three. So, and there's been plenty of guys that put up numbers. Like, there's been a lot of big rookie receivers, right out of the chute, and they really haven't won it. So, you go quarterback and running back, and this is probably why John even wrote this, and he can speak for himself, but there's not really these running backs that jump off the screen, jump off the page.
There's
where you're like,
one.
This guy's good. You think Najee Harris?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
the opportunity.
Well, the opportunity, and the Steelers are known for, that's a big part of their offense. Even with Roethlisberger, it's the whole still running the ball. And I think you just highlighted great examples of, it's almost like wide receivers kind of get lumped together, and it's like, well, you know, this mid-level wide receiver had 1,000 yards, and this rookie did. What's the difference? Whereas with Harris, I mean, is it inconceivable to think that guy gets 250 carries next year for the Steelers?
No,
that,
it's not.
That offensive line is so bad,
that's the caveat.
That he's going to get 20 carries in a game for like 80 yards, and it's not going to matter. I think you have a better shot at like someone like Javonte Williams. That kind
I was
of running
say,
back
there's
being
be,
a better fit.
There's going to be somebody that either we're not thinking of or whatever. Like last year at this time, we're like, hey, James Robinson's going to have a great year. Like there'll be some guy that just gets the opportunity, either wins the job or the starter gets
that's
hurt,
what it
and then
is.
It's the rookie running back.
They win a job, and then and that's where the wide receiver and running back market would be a little bit in flux there as well.
One of the things to take into account as well is that if a rookie quarterback makes the playoffs, they almost always win it. Sort of in the modern NFL, it used to just be all running backs would win it no matter what. Mm-hmm. But like Matt Ryan, Sam Bradford sniffed the playoffs and he still won it, but there was no opposition that year from other positions, and then you've also got Cam Newton and RG3. Luck made it, but that was the RG3 year, obviously.
Right.
But then from that span from 13 to 18, you had Dak winning it. But every other year that the running back won it, there was no quarterback that was a clear contender to win the award. And this year, it looks like there's going to be at least one quarterback that at least makes the playoffs with their team.
I just think with Fields and Mac are the only two, though, I think that have a chance at the playoffs. I think Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson can play great, but it doesn't matter.
And I will say this, that I think that Mac Jones does have a chance to get Belichicked on an award like this, to whereas when you look at Chicago, it's like, oh, they're a mess there. If Fields goes in and plays well,
it's all him.
Oh, Fields
it's
is all
he
him.
He saved them.
Whereas here, if Mac Jones is like 3,500 yards and they win games and he has a good touchdown interception ratio, it'll be, well, Bill protected him and Bill coached him up.
I also think, though, if he's not the starter by week 5 or 6, that it's almost like it's good. He might have 10.
At that point, it's cooked.
Then I think you got to say, all right, who's the running back? Or maybe you bring, you know, Kyle Pitts back into the mix. Like, because if he's such a rare player, you know, maybe Kyle Pitts does win it. And probably what? I'd guess the first tight end ever win it.
And it's interesting.
Oh, no,
because,
I'm sorry. Mike Ditka actually won it.
Oh, yeah. Back in what? Like 58?
61.
61. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll text Coach right now and see if he remembers that. I love Coach Ditka. He has great cigars, man. Yeah. Anyway, but this is a look. It's up for your consumption, folks.
But what an extreme, though. By the way, like, so Mac Jones gets picked, and you could say like Shime, horrible draft pick, or on the other side,
could be rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year,
right? Like, there's a big variance
probably somewhere in the middle, right? It's probably going to be somewhere in the middle where neither can take a real victory lap.
And it doesn't seem like Mac Jones is going to get a chance by some doctor sticking a needle in the wrong spot of Cam Newton to numb him up like what happened last year. Yeah, exactly.
They don't have that.
So you can go to WEEI.com or odyssey.com/WEEI, and it'll be right there on the old front page. And the embedded video is Fourier going off a couple days after the draft as well. So check that out. Shime, is there anything you'd like to add to this before we move on?
So I'd like to just make the statement that I don't hate John for this because I think his logic is generally...
However, I'm never speaking to him again.
Correct.
No, that's not
true. He's dead to me.
I think his logic is generally sound in that if Mac Jones starts a lot of games and the Patriots win, there's a good chance he wins Rookie of the Year.
That's fair.
However, I am in the same boat as Keith. I don't think he starts a lot of games. Therefore, I think the argument is kind of...
That is like it's the only hurdle to this whole thing. And I think... So like I sort of at the end of it, I said like maybe if you want to throw a little on it now, don't break the bank on it now. Just throw $10 on it or
something. Well, the other hurdle, would be if he plays poorly.
Well, yeah, but I don't think he's going to.
I'm with John on that, too. If he gets he is going to have
the best roster around him of any of these quarterbacks who is going to start. Trey Lance probably would if he started, but he's less likely to start than
Forget
Mac
the roster, the best coach.
Because the best coach, rookies, the best O-line, the best defense.
Because with rookies, now I know it almost like flies in the face of the whole, the Chargers coach got fired and then, you know, the quarterback went in there and played well. And it almost felt like that was a bit of an anomaly, but I think that's a part of it too. Like Jacksonville and the Jets are more than likely going to be a mess this year.
Yeah, but those guys could still put up crazy stats. We've seen bad teams, they get to throw the ball a lot, and it might be hard to, if Trevor Lawrence throws for 4,500 yards, 30 plus touchdowns, even if they lose 12 games, he still might get in the conversation.
Well,
he's still the biggest name. Like,
there you go. I think the media would love to give it to Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. It would almost be like the continuation of this coronation of him being the number one pick and the hope in Jacksonville and all that.
So Tua played in 10 games last year.
Yeah.
Started 9. He went 6-3. 11 touchdowns, 5 picks, under 2,000 yards, and a QB rating of 87. Like if you project those, you know, double those or essentially.
Right.
I don't know. That's not going to blow you away. I think if Mac Jones throws 20 touchdowns, 12 picks, they win a bunch of games. But Lawrence or Wilson throw for 30 touchdowns, I don't think they would give it to Jones
If Mac won, if Mac made the playoffs, though, they based on history, he would absolutely.
Belichick. Yeah.
Right. Like, because, is Belichick on the defense?
Right.
Like,
because we know they're going to run the ball. And we look at all the moves that they made, and there's going to be, you would think that if they're scoring points, there's going to be one running back with 10 touchdowns. But, John, I think your logic is very sound here, and it goes show that
producers are people, too.
Well, it goes to show, I don't know about that.
Oh, that quarterbacks are looked fondly on? What a bold take.
But
I don't know how.
Shocker.
It's standing alone on this one, John.
No, but to the point,
Glenn's here with me.
quarterbacks are so looked at lovingly that a guy like Justin Jefferson, who had an unbelievable year last.
What do you have to do now as a wideout?
Exactly right.
Like,
you have to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
but I bet if the Vikings made the playoffs, he would have won it.
You know, that's not a bad take. It really is, because I think again, here's the other thing too. We're also trying to get into the mind of voters, right? Of these
but
people
Odell
who have their
they go by box score stats.
That's exactly right.
Like but Odell Beckham didn't make the playoffs when he had that awesome.
Who was the contender against him? It was Derek Carr, who won 3 games and didn't put up good numbers.
Well, quarterback though,
and the other
didn't put up good numbers or make the playoffs.
Yeah, so I don't think Mac Jones is going to put up good numbers.
But didn't Odell Beckham also have that? Like the rookie year was the one handed catch into the end zone on Monday Night Football. Yeah, there's that element.
Mac has more primetime games than the rest of the quarterback too. If he's playing in them.
Well, I will say that this discussion.
If he beats Brady on that in that game, then it's over.
But, oh, jeez.
Can you imagine
that? This discussion gets almost paused until the schedule comes out. Because to your point, Rich, like if the bye week is week 6 or 7, that would be an opening for them to be able to make that kind of move. And, you know, is it heavy in terms of good teams at the start of the year to where that could affect the win loss and Cam as well? So there is another layer to this. But go to WEEI.com and I wish they'd put your picture on there. That'd be nice to get these people writing these columns.
By the way, can I publicly say this? I have written many things for this website, and at the top under the writers tab, I still do not have my own tab.
Oh, God, save it. Wow. Gresh and I can't do a thing about that. So.
Yeah.
You could.
Out of our head. How?
We're going to call Bob Radford, and he's going to...
We'll ask him about it next week.
He's going to wake up.
We'll put him in the hot seat.
Right, exactly.
Gotcha Radio.
Yeah, we'll smoke him.
How come somebody hasn't done? Who's in charge of doing all that anyway? Is it really Rob, or does Rob have someone underneath him? And he would say, put John's name in there so he's not
John's the leader.
I was going to say, John's probably in charge of
it. Oh, okay. I was just going to say. Well, then do it. Just code it yourself. Yeah. Put it on there.
Code it myself?
Whatever.
Right. You're not a coder?
Whatever it would be.
I do have a comp sci minor, so maybe I can do it.
Oh, what?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Comp sci what?
Minor.
Oh. So that means nothing, basically. Okay. It's something you say to make yourself sound
just good. Words. It's on his LinkedIn.
He's got a future role in politics with that kind of putting that out there. Hey, Red Sox Orioles tonight, 6:10 pregame on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI, Red Sox Radio Network. And we have Red Sox tickets to give away, but I don't know. Should we shoot it a little later? Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it later. Sure. I want to get to this. Have you seen the offer that a place called Mr. Brew's Tap House
sounds like my kind of place
has made to Aaron Rodgers? So this is
Rodgers, big beer guy, by the way.
Well, there you go. I was just going to say.
I mean, this might fall on deaf ears, potentially.
There is a little bit of that. But apparently this Mr. Brew's Brew House is in four states, and they're big in Wisconsin. And basically, the owner has come out and said, hey, dude, if you stay, you eat for free. Forever.
So you get like a little card. You get to go in there and eat for free.
I would think that it might be more of a, hey, here's this picture on the wall kind of thing.
It's Aaron Rodgers.
You know?
You have to wear your jersey, though, so we know who you are.
Oh, it would have to. Do that. There would be
full
some
uniform.
Level of verification. You're right.
Yeah, but a guy who famously does not like beer, and a brew house is like, hey, please. And by the way, you have hundreds of millions of dollars, but you can eat at our brew house for free.
That's exactly right.
I feel like it may not convince them.
That's a.
I've been wrong before.
That's a hook.
Don't think it's gonna work.
Well, I went to this place's. I went to this.
Looks like you got some homework.
I do. I do. Yeah. I just had to get it out of the old bag.
What do you got there? The menu.
Here's some of the delicacies at this place.
All right.
We have a bacon mac and cheeseburger.
I'll try that.
Yep.
That sounds real nice.
The California burger, which would be right up, you would think, A-Rod's alley,
yes.
Which is pepper jack cheese, homemade guacamole, and roasted red bell pepper sauce.
I'll eat that, too.
You put guac on, like, anything, and I'll probably
anything.
Eat it.
They just have to start pandering to him with the burger names, like Super Bowls Don't Matter Burger.
Oh, God.
Did you just, like, dry heave at the mention of
dude,
guacamole?
Guacamole is fantastic. Disgusting.
You didn't do it.
It's like two things.
Gross.
Two things.
Gross.
Avocados are great, and it's a healthy fat. Go ahead, gang. Treat yourself to a whole avocado this weekend. Healthy
fat. Think you get some omega-3s in there, maybe?
Oh, my God. Plenty. Just packed to the gills
with it. It's just gross.
Don't like guacamole.
Green,
what do you eat
gross,
during the Super Bowl? What are your Super Bowl snacks if you're not eating guacamole?
I don't even know. Yeah, like, I don't know. It's not that big a deal for me. Not even beer.
No, he's not a beer guy.
I'm not a beer guy. It would probably be pizza and, like, maybe mozz sticks or something
pizza
like that.
And
but,
sticks.
You know, right. I'm simple when it comes
guacamole
to that.
Guacamole is so good.
And then there's this, which is a totally divisive burger and another disgusting creation by Mr. Brew's. It's called the Mr. Brew's Peanut Buster with peanut butter, bacon, and pepper jack cheese on a hamburger.
No.
Good Lord.
Nope. I don't like that at one bit. And
peanut
I like
butter
peanut butter
on a burger.
I like hamburgers. I'm not putting them together. Makes no sense.
If there was a gun to my head and they said you had to choose guac or peanut butter, woof. That'd be tough.
You'd be dead.
I would eat peanut butter.
Trigger.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
No. I mean, I'm chubby enough that.
Shime, you're not eating a peanut butter burger, are you?
No, absolutely not. Right, it's too much. It's like salt on salt. Why would I do that?
Salt on top of salt.
Yeah, it's a little much. But maybe Shailene Woody might be into it, and she might say, hey, Aaron, I'd love to get this burger for free forever. And there we go.
And this is coming from a guy who freaking loves peanut butter, by the way.
Yeah, a big peanut butter guy.
That is true. So
add that to your stream.
As a fat, I love peanut butter.
Just get a jar while in the hot tub.
Oh, hot tub peanut butter. That is a match made in heaven right there.
Yeah.
Just scooping it out of there.
Are you sticking your gross fingers in there and licking it right off?
I'll use a spoon or a celery stick and I'll just get in there.
A celery stick. I love health nut. Kidding me?
Honestly, I love celery. Like,
yeah, but if you load it up with peanut butter, I wouldn't say you necessarily love it.
Well, no, I could eat celery by itself. I could eat it with ranch dressing. I could eat it with peanut butter, I could eat it. It doesn't matter. I love celery.
John's losing his mind over something. What is it? Someone
you guys see the Twitch stream right
now? No, I didn't.
It's just zoomed in on Shime's gut.
Come on, that's not fair.
Aiden, you're the worst.
That is.
That's unnecessary.
That's a low blow. As a fellow fat, I am offended.
You're not fat! You are not fat!
John is Gretchen Wiener. He's trying to make fetch happen, and it's not happening. Working.
Nobody wants the most weight on this show since August.
Just kidding.
Nobody wants you to be a part of their club. Nobody wants you.
There's no way.
The
listen.
Fats are rejecting you. The skinnies are upset. Get out of here. Get out.
Rich, if me and Shime and John were walking down the road and they said which one doesn't look like the other, they would not say the tall, thin guy is the chubbiest one.
No.
And I've lost weight, and it still wouldn't work.
I've gained weight, a lot of it.
Yeah, but not. But you were thin and spindly. You know who you were. You started Mike Giardi. Now you look normal.
He looked like Ichabod Crane.
Oh my God, that is great.
More Gresh and Keefe right now on WEEI. It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is
Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a
dude. I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay. Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness. With Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
I bring it!
I will be covering the event on the social media platform TikTok.
A Bigfoot murdered three guys on a dope farm.
You believe that Sasquatch can teleport?
No.
Yes, you do.
No,
yes,
I do not.
Do. You do.
Do not go there.
Not for sexual reasons.
Here we go. It's a Friday at noon 30. That means it's time for our week in review here on Gresh and Keefe. And Gresh, let's begin. With trust us, we're professionals.
For roughing New York Rangers Pavel Buchnevich,
Watson would be much more a much better fit.
Shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, cheese cannon.
Should Bruins I turn your passes. Mic on while you're doing
I thought
this
I did.
Is
I
there more trending that,
yes.
to be trended?
My apologies. Okay. Trending now brought to you by the wide world of Boston. Whether you need a new roof, replacement windows, or even new siding, do what Lou and Christian did and call Window World of Boston today. 800-NEXT-WIN or windowworldofboston.com. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Can you
just moved on.
I repeat the beginning of that?
Yeah.
What was
brought to you by
sponsor?
Window World of Boston.
Window World of Boston.
Wide World of Boston. That's bad job by me.
The wide world of Boston.
Pretty good. And he also hit it with such confidence. The wide world of Boston.
At least he didn't try to blame it on his lisp like David Ortiz.
No, he didn't. That was all him. The Patriots, of course, the draft was last week. And in the third round, the Patriots selected Ronnie Perkins, defensive end out of Oklahoma.
Yes.
And he had some interesting comments during his Zoom press conference following the draft.
Willie McGinnis, who Dante Hightower. I'll probably say I'll also probably say a DB who just left the Patriots, but what's his name? Gilmore, Stephon Gilmore.
Hey, Ronnie, I got some good news for you. Stephon Gilmore is still with the Patriots, so you might get to see him soon.
I might get clowned for that one. My bad.
So good. Ronnie Perkins thinking that Stephon Gilmore was no longer on the team.
Man, last night after I smoked him, I thought he was gone. And by the way, who's the writer who couldn't wait to jump in there?
Oh, Ronnie!
Like,
oh! Ronnie, they got him. They got him. Also, my sneaky favorite part of that whole thing is that he loved Willie McGinnis, who he must have saw when he was 2 years old.
Well, I see him on TV.
Yes.
He's a good analyst.
Well, it's been a little over a month since Gresh has been here on WEEI.
That's right.
And this week, we happened to learn a good amount about his family.
Dude, they were all over that. I think my Uncle Tom got thrown out of the park, and I ain't kidding either. Oh,
what'd he do to get thrown out of the park?
I think he might have broke into like an Elvis impersonation because he was an Elvis impersonator
spirit.
He wrecked his car.
It's
and
old Elvis, the like old, last days. Elvis,
yeah, yeah. He was. Yeah, he went and did a gig and drank and drove and wrecked his pickup truck, and now he doesn't look like Elvis anymore. He's got a big scar on his face, and
he
now he's like this.
Off.
Fat loser uncle of mine that lives in Western Pennsylvania who I haven't talked to since I heard that he almost like ripped his face off in a car wreck.
So that was part of it. There's more.
A lot of chlorine in this gene pool.
If you thought David Ortiz was a good line by Chris Scheim, one of course which will live on forever. He was doing a Bertucci's read and just kind of organically said David Ortiz. Well, we have the latest version this week. I think Bernie Mac came up, then led Shime to say this.
Oh, Steve Harvey, that's right.
You're king of the comedy.
Bernie Mac's dead.
You're mixing them up. Thanks,
rest
John.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Did you say rest in peace?
Rest in cheese.
I said peace, but okay.
He said rest in peace.
Definitely. You're mixing them up. Thanks,
rest
John.
In peace.
Take all your peas.
We need to. We got
rest in peace.
We got to use Connects to WWE to get Undertaker to get in on that.
Well, speaking of which, this could be included, I would think, maybe in Shime. So Shime's on Twitch. Our show is on Twitch. You go to Boston WEEI. Shime also, he'll play video games. At Shime Time on Twitch. And there's been a lot of suggestions about how to maybe boost the stream up a little bit.
Sure.
You're always trying to steal viewers away from other Twitch streamers.
That's right.
The chat had some pretty good suggestions. But now this hot tub stuff, and like Twitch doesn't know what to do with it. They're allowing it though, right?
Yes, they're very much allowing it. So like it's crazy because one of our chat members said, I wish they would pay me as much as a middle-aged guy that's kind of hairy to sit in a hot tub, drink whiskey, and smoke a cigar.
Imagine getting Shime in the hot tub and just have him do a stream.
Hold on, are you saying to me?
Why haven't you thought of this? This is a great idea, actually.
Well, I don't own a hot tub in my own house.
I know. Well, you're going to have to think about it. It's an investment. And I think you might want to do it. I pulled up one of these during the break to show Gresh on Twitch. There was a young lady who happened to be in a hot tub just talking to the people watching. There's like 10,000 people watching her. She had not much on.
Right.
But not even really a hot tub. And somebody in her chat even said, how is this woman going to claim a kiddie pool is a hot tub? So, Shime, I don't even think you need a full-on hot tub.
Can I just do it in a bathtub?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No, you still need the look of the hot tub, even if it's inflatable.
Like you're in a separate room.
Right.
No, the bathtub. No. We're not.
And by the way, I'm looking at the Coleman Salu Spa inflatable and portable hot tub with heated water system and bubbles, $619 on Amazon.
$619,
yeah.
Oh, that's a lot, though.
But we can raise that by the end of the show today.
You think so? If we did like a GoFundMe on that,
to see Shime overflow that I might go myself on that. Bad Larry.
This week's slow burn once again revolved around Jermaine Wiggins on the Greg Hill Show on Cinco de Mayo. They did a Mexican cuisine blind taste test, which led to this.
That is a some type of tortilla. Like, I'm going to say like a beef tortilla. But, they're the little tostinos.
Well.
Man, that's good.
Okay.
And by the way, after that taste test happened, the food sat in here for a good 36 hours.
Oh, it was here until Cinco de Ocho.
It smelled like Gary Tangway on those late Patriot post games that I used to do with him, Hummus Boy.
But we also got this.
Hold on a second. Just don't put that. I want to get a picture of you putting that into your mouth.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So many lines
Hard to hear that, really. We also broke out the debut of Sweet and Salty Lou Maloney as he was on the call of the Red Sox this week.
God.
Playing right fielder this part?
That's a big slider that did absolutely nothing. Drove this thing, got enough of it to get over that green monster. Beautiful. Absolutely crushes this ball. I mean, this was a missile.
Pretty good.
Oh, yeah. A ball pretty of good. Phlegm's coming soon. We know that.
Oh, we will get that.
Great
job, Will Fleming.
Will Fleming, sorry. Dave's his brother.
That's right. We also had a discussion about this report that came out about what nose size might actually mean in regards to the male body. Are you buying that nose thing that they're talking about?
No.
Noses correlate because it used to be feet, and then people are like, well, it's hands and feet.
For those who don't know, there's a study that apparently says that if you have a big nose, you got a big Johnson.
Well,
that would make Triple H a porn star, the wrestler from WWE.
Side note, has nothing to do with anything, but 10 years ago, I got a nose reduction.
Magnum Dong.
That's not true at all.
I looked. I saw the video. Oh, dude, did you see the video? I looked at you and went,
wait a minute. We'll wrap up this week with who I think might be Gresh's favorite player in the city of Boston. That'd be one Tristan Thompson, who kind of got him going on this rant just yesterday. This always happens.
Allegedly, that Tristan Thompson is out there doing all this stuff. You know what he was?
What was he?
He was
an elephant.
He's got a memory like an
elephant. He might be. Who knows? I don't know. What are we getting? What are we measuring noses again now?
Would you like a fun elephant fact?
No, not right now.
Hold it. But, like, he was the lead on Extra last night.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Extra.
Yeah.
Like, not SportsCenter. Hey, he got 10 points and 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
It's here's the latest. Who is saying that they've seen something with Tristan Thompson? And then it's the whole, no. Look, this guy can contribute. Like,
I know, he can rebound.
Everybody loves the booty. Everybody loves it. Everybody wants to get laid. Everybody wants some. But Tristan Thompson, you're connected with somebody already, and you're still out there, allegedly, doing all this stuff. Now he's got to serve cease and desist. Yeah. How about this? Can you focus on getting a rebound?
He's just so horny.
He is.
What do you want? Come on. Let the guy be a guy.
Well, bring him to you. How's that?
Yeah. Like, oh, I know.
Don't go out in public.
I know.
By the way, did we ever get Shime's elephant fact in there?
We never tried to jam in. Should we pay that off now?
Would you like it?
Yeah. What was the elephant fact that, that we told you to hold on
to? So elephants are animals known to use their Johnson to itch the underside of their belly.
Hey, Shime.
Is that even real?
Shime, can you do the...
That's very real.
Shime, as a large person, can you do the same thing?
I assure you I could not.
Well, you had a nose job, so there you go.
Good Lord.
Oh, man.
All right.
Oh, God, I love Kiefer Madness. The Kiefer Madness Week in Review. There you go. Thank you, Keith. That was Shime.
Yep.
I mean,
pretty good.
That is.
I told you I had a fact, and I told you it'd blow your mind.
You're not wrong.
Can I ask you?
It paid off.
Can I ask you where you learned that fact?
It was a trivia question one time.
Trial and
which
ever.
Animal uses it to itch the underside of their stomach? And it came down to a warthog, an elephant, and a hippopotamus. And it turned out, I just assumed not elephant.
My money would have been on hippopotamus.
Well, yeah, because I assumed not elephant because they have trunks, which they would probably use. Nope, they use the other thing instead.
If they have an itch?
Yeah.
How do you make it move?
But
if you have an itch, you're normally scratching something, right? What is it? Fingers come out and go itchy, itchy. There you go. Like, what are we doing?
I wouldn't even think they would have it. Their skin is like so, like,
they got arms growing out of it.
Like, seriously. They got little fingies coming out of there? Scratch your belly?
If they have like a rash or something? Like, what kind of issue does an elephant have with their skin?
And if an elephant has a belly rash and they use that thing to scratch it, then aren't you transferring it to that?
Covered.
Then you get a whole big itchy area. Then what do they do? Then it's the trunk.
You got a friend over.
They're hanging in a river. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's a real problem.
Trying to cool it down. That'll be the next pandemic. Wait, what? Elephants in a river?
We'll trace it back. Well, because then it gets in the river. It goes down the river.
I got you.
We're in this mess because of a penguin.
Yeah.
So, I can only imagine what an elephant could cause.
Why do I have a funny feeling a zoologist is going to call this show and be like, this Shime guy, what is he doing?
Sexual reasons.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's that.
All right, we'll try to get back on track and talk about NBA players and money next.
Tortilla, beef, tortilla, tostinos.
Thanks,
rest
John.
In peace.
Yeah.
Did you say rest in peace?
The Meat Sweats.
Meat Sweats. I was listening to Meat Sweats the other day. Instead of sweating your bets, you're getting the Meat Sweats.
Gresh and Keith on EEI.
On Monday, we're going to get into Rich's all-NBA teams. And yesterday, we talked a little bit about the Man, we talked a little bit about how these superlatives tie into the money that players make, and Jason Tatum is affected by that, but we'll get to it on Monday.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We're in a weird place right now.
There's actually a lot more to this story as it relates to elephants and how they scratch their bellies, but there's a lot more to it, and we did a little bit of research. Our guy Chris Scheim, Elephant Facts Scheim, came up with a little bit more and some pretty interesting stories here, Scheim.
Yeah, so an elephant's Johnson is not only massive, but also prehensile.
What
now, you might
mean?
Be asking, what prehensile means?
That's our first question.
Prehensile means capable of grasping things. Generally referred
to... See,
like,
fingers!
Generally referred to like a monkey's tail.
Elephant it's dong like has tail. Fingers?
Yeah, like it can grab onto stuff.
Well, it doesn't really have fingers.
No, but
it's...
wait a minute, though. But the monkey's tail wraps around... The monkey's tail wraps around
No, the
fins.
Word prehensile is generally referred to as like in reference to a monkey's tail.
So you're
tail.
Suggesting the elephant can climb a tree with this?
Well, he can do a lot of things. He actually can prop himself up with it, swat flies from his side.
So he can do a headstand?
It's like a kickstand, really.
Yes,
what it is.
Exactly.
And so he can prop himself up, he can do what? Swat flies
from his side and scratch himself on the stomach.
No,
wait,
little.
So the reason for this is because there's six ton animals.
Tons?
Yes, tons.
Tons?
Tons.
Tons.
6 ton animals.
Tons?
It's very difficult for them to get in the right position for sex, so it allows the Johnson to do all the work.
So a little red
that's the evolution method.
This might be a dumb question, but they also have tails, right?
Yeah, but very short tails.
So they have little tails, big trunks, and then
massive.
But so those
are packing heat.
They have three different kind of appendages that can swat flies, if you will.
Yes, for the most part.
And huge feet.
And yet this animal, if you teach it from the very beginning to be tethered to a tiny little sort of stake in the ground on a rope, it has the ability to grow something out of itself and smack that little thing right away.
Out of there.
And yet it doesn't do it.
Nope. It can wear little hats. It can kind of walk in a circle. Kind of really cruel what they used to do to the elephants.
Yeah,
it very much is.
But the fact that somehow...
But we've learned a lot today.
But somehow Scheim learned about its red wiggler.
John made the mistake of
this.
YouTubing it.
Nah,
don't do that.
I wouldn't. John's, look at him, shocked.
It's like walking
flabbergasted.
It's like walking on a horse farm, and you look to your left, and you're like, whoa, what is going on
imagine a horse like 3 times bigger.
Oh, yeah, much bigger than a horse.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
They say Mother Nature's beautiful.
Is it?
No.
No, some of those shows
not
keep you up
instance.
At night. If you watch some of that stuff, just like, yeah, it's a wild world that we live in.
It is the wild world.
We haven't even scratched the surface of some of these things.
Well, literally. I mean, considering this thing is apparently it sounds like elephants have like their own superhero attached to them. It can reach out and scratch things.
Yeah, sounds about
swat
right.
Swat away flies. Yeah. I don't understand. Like, the whole like trunk part, I get.
Yes.
But.
The tail,
you know, but if you're a full blown blue pill, humans can't make that thing twirl around. But apparently, the elephant can make this thing not only grow but grab stuff, itch. Well,
they're different than us in a lot of ways.
I'm right.
We are not all that and have a lot in common with the elephant. I think it's fair to say.
We evolved in a very different manner,
and you're not supposed to ride them either. Because remember Doc Antle in Tiger King was riding the elephant? And everyone's like, that's not what you're supposed to do.
Half the elephant population is, so depending on what's going on with the other elephant.
Living the dream. Wow, I thought I knew a lot about elephants. It turns out I didn't know a thing.
Oh, really? Sit around with Davey on the dork pod, the off-air dork pod, talking about elephant wang?
I would say I have a different or a decent knowledge of animals of the world, but this is something I was not aware of. I'm glad you learned something on this show.
And you discovered this why?
I was watching a trivia show. I believe it was The Chase. I might be wrong, but I believe it was the show called The Chase. And they were in a round where it's multiple choice. And the question was basically, which animal uses its Johnson to scratch its stomach? And the choices were warthog, hippo, or elephant. And I guessed wrong, found out it was elephant, and then did a little research on why an elephant would do that thing because it has a trunk.
There's a lot in there, really. Yeah. I mean, there's a great deal in
Someone
there.
Someone says, look up blue whale appendages.
We're going
down the road.
Nope.
Coming up, final hour of this show for the week. For some people, ever. It's the better. No, not ever. It's just elephant dong. We're okay. At least I hope so. Plus, we're educating people.
That's right.
Somewhere there's a child listening that's coming away with a nugget of information that is going to win them a bar bet at some point in their life. Who are the Celtics playoff eight? What's the best Bruins lineup for the playoffs? We'll stop talking about elephant wang and get back to sports next.